World War III to a war of words and civil war within the Democratic Party. It's all happening this week. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton, freelance journalist and author. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Over 8,000 troops have been placed on alert for possible deployment to Eastern Europe, with Russia continuing to make overtures toward Ukraine in the build-up to a possible invasion. Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby has said the bulk of US troops were intended to bolster NATO's quick response force, but they would be postured to be ready for other contingencies as well. Ed, are we looking down the barrel of World War III?
We're certainly looking down the barrel of a gun. There's no doubt about that. Why Putin is doing this is very unclear. The superficial message is he wants NATO not to take over the Ukraine as an ally, and Poland's halfway in. They're not fully in. And he wants to stop the creep of NATO. So he has a rationale, but this seems to be a little bit extreme over response. So I'm not sure where this ends up. Certainly Russia doesn't want a war. The Russian army is fed up with wars. They just lose men. They don't gain much. And who in the hell wants to run the Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Russians want a bunch of people that are throwing firebombs in every building. It'd be like Afghanistan again. So what this means for Russia is hard to understand. Now, clearly, we could make a sidebar deal saying we're not going to go in the Ukraine for the next decade or whatever. And that may be the way this is settled. But the Ukraine, even if NATO were in the Ukraine, Ukrainians aren't even loyal to themselves. So why are they a threat to Russia? It's just not clear. I think this is what's in Putin's mind. This is his swan song. He said he was going to get back the USSR, the whole empire. In some ways, he's done that. He's installed dictators in Belarus, in Uzbekistan, and other places that are loyal to Russia. He knows that Russia cannot possibly handle the economic downspin of the integration of those countries back into Russia. In the old days, you practically enslaved the people and they sent you wheat and you sent them nothing. But that wouldn't work now. But he has this symbolic thing in his mind. So he needs a symbolic victory.
Well, in terms of what the Russian army is doing, I mean, Putin, I don't think, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's particularly nostalgic about spending lives. Certainly the USSR, Russia has never been particularly concerned about spending soldiers' lives. But economically, the US has also threatened to use novel export control to damage key Russian industries. The kind of targeted sanctions that were previously used against Chinese tech giant Huawei. Now, when employed against Huawei, this was described as a slow strangulation by the US government. Now, if I remember my history right, the Cold War ended with a kind of slow strangulation of the Soviet economy. And, I mean, given how something like this would affect Russian civilians, the situation in country as it stands, Putin's position as it stands, it all would look fairly tumultuous, I would think.
I would think so, too. And what you've listed out are the things that Russia is still experiencing.
Mm.
There are still shortages in Russia. It is not a great place to live. If you get outside of Moscow and St. Petersburg, it really starts falling apart. So it wouldn't take much of a strangulation to strangulate almost completely. The Russians don't even believe in their own currency. The only thing they have is this oil deal with the Germans. And the Germans said, hey, we don't need that oil. Let's see what we can do with wind power and other things. So I think that clearly Russia, sanctioning Russia in the far term, that is 20 years out after everyone's using batteries and so on, will be hard to do because Russia won't have much to offer. And maybe that's the game, that Russia has something to offer in this intermediate term, and he wants to milk it as far as he can. But why in the hell would you want the Ukrainians? The Ukrainians are like having the Italians on your side. You know, they're dangerous to you, and you give them a gun, they're dangerous to themselves. So I don't get it.
Well, from World War III to a war of words between Biden and a Fox News reporter who asked this week, do you think inflation is a political liability ahead of midterms? Biden responded, seemingly to himself while accidentally still on mic, it's a great asset, more inflation, what a stupid son of a bitch. But indeed, inflation is on the rise and consumer prices have seen their sharpest surge since 1982. So, you know, this isn't just fuel for economic nuffies. This is hitting Americans where it hurts. Ed, what's going on?
Well, there are several things going on here. And this inflation, remember, we were talking about before the pandemic, this interest rate of below one can't hold. There is too much money circulating out there, free money. And as soon as the belt tightened, the balloon started blowing up. There was now a cover on this balloon. The free dollars that were escaping, going everywhere, are pent up. And they're pent up largely in the supply chain. The Chinese have a lot to answer for. This disease started in China. They don't deny that. Whether it started in a lab or wherever it started, it has messed up the supply chain. And the economies around the world were in delicate shape to begin with. So I think this is the inflation that was going to come. Goods were way too cheap. It was almost disinflation. And this inflation is going to come. Will it hurt Biden in the midterms? Sure, but have the Republicans answered how they're going to fight inflation? No. We have a situation here that's out of everyone's control.
And I wanted to touch on this, although, I mean, we have touched on it a few times previously with no sort of answers. Student debt. Biden walked away from another press conference earlier in the week when asked about, you know, the idea of cancelling student debt. And while I'm aware money has to be paid to lenders and that obviously has to come from somewhere, cancelling student debt as Biden campaigned on, when we're talking about inflation, when we're talking about midterms, it seems like such an easy win.
Well, it does. It is an easy target now. It wasn't at the time, but it's an easy target now. And I think Biden is just treading very carefully about giveaways because his biggest giveaway, of course, is his new big deal, you know, his latest program to strengthen the economy and strengthen the American middle class. This would be a small thing in terms of his larger program, but it would be an important thing. And I think it's probably on the table. And he doesn't want to put it up there until the time is right.
And on voting rights, after efforts were undone again by Democrats Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, we've seen fallout this week, particularly with a lot of people withdrawing support for Sinema and her being censured by her own party in Arizona. More and more, I already said this last week, but more and more it's obvious there is no great moral center here. There is no consistency. There is only obstruction. What's happening?
Well, so in Sinema's case, I can't imagine her being interested in being in the Senate anymore. I think we've actually saw, maybe last year sometime, her dwindling, distancing herself from the job. She's lost a lot of people in both her offices in Arizona and in Washington because her lack of attention to the job. She's done internships in other firms and organizations. She wants to do something else. I don't know whether she's bored with this, tired of it, but serving the Arizona people is not what she wants to do. Sometimes when you win something, you don't know what to do with the prize. And I think that's her case. She has no legacy for herself in mind. She has no burning interest of getting this or that. She doesn't see the cinema bill coming up anytime in the future. She's just there, and she can't figure out how to conserve her interest.
Yeah, I have heard some people saying she'd be in trouble if she wanted to run again in 2024, and I can't imagine that she does. But this is something that obviously needs to be dealt with by Biden, by Democrats, right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Couple more things. One that's a sort of a holdover from the Trump era. Louis DeJoy, the U.S. postmaster appointed under Trump in 2020, may hold on to his job for now. Now, DeJoy, he was accused of screwing up and slowing down the ability of the post office to do its job during the COVID pandemic, and even trying to mess up the delivery of mail-in ballots in a bid to try and, you know, help Donald Trump retain the presidency. Biden removed a couple of his supporters from the board of governors that controls the postmaster position, but he can't remove DeJoy himself. Any thoughts on this one?
Well, I think they have to get at least one or two more people on the board. And what Biden has done, and this is one we probably should have covered, is he sent out a letter to every Republican appointed by Trump to any board and ask them to resign or be forced to resign. Now, in some cases, for example, like the West Point, he's asked one of the few women to ever serve on the West Point board to resign. She's actually a pretty good candidate, one that Joe wanted to put in himself. So I think this shows the lack of a laser beam approach to some of these matters and too many junior people in the White House. I think going after DeJoy should be something the president should take on himself.
And lest you think the fight for gun control was in any way going well, Wisconsin Republicans have passed a bill allowing some high school students to bring guns to campus. They've lowered the state's concealed carry age requirement from 21 to 18, and supposedly parts of the bill do away with bans on carrying in schools and churches. Ed, is the only way to stop a bad teenager with a gun a good teenager with a gun?
Shootouts on campuses will be the new football match. The American people as a whole have to get on this one. And I think, like you do with disease, you have to go after the carrier of that disease. And the carrier of that disease are the gun makers. And the gun makers putting money in people's coffers. And much like the tobacco companies, until these guys are sued, things won't change. And if kids start getting slaughtered in Wisconsin schools because of what the Republicans did, Biden. People do vote. And I don't think they're going to vote to let kids carry guns in the schools.
Across the pond, we mentioned this last week, Boris Johnson has been facing sustained pressure to resign.
Boring Johnson?
He's anything but boring, really, but much like Trump, he's kind of got this tendency that no matter what he does, he survives. He's a survivor. He's Teflon as well. He's been partying it up while the rest of the UK was under these restrictions and is now, you know, insisting on, I guess, inquiries, insisting inquiries happen instead of resignations.
Well, he's not insisting on this. A senior public servant in a position much like the Inspector General in the United States got wind of this, and she's asking for this investigation. It's not something he can stop. So the Metropolitan Police are investigating. Now, the Metropolitan Police can fine people and put them up on charges to go to jail. And there is no insulation between Boris Johnson and the British judiciary system as there is for the President of the United States. Before this happens, Boris is going to be gone. And Boris would be gone now if they had a suitable replacement. But anybody they put in would lose to Labour, the new Labour's people. So I think this is government in tatters. Boris screwed up the response by this on and off again. He's not been able to cope with Brexit. And his personal life manages his political life. This is, sounds like somebody named Dump Trump. Boom. These names just come and go.
Sounds like somebody else we might mention in a minute as well. But first, the January 6th investigation, the committee has been talking to former Attorney General William Barr. Some pretty pointed questions about the draft of an executive order that was presented to Trump in December to have the Secretary of Defense seize voting machines in battleground states. You know, this was obviously, you know, part of Barr and part of the whole message around election fraud and the law and order that needed to happen in order to cut down on election fraud. Ed, what do you make of the latest?
I think they really have Trump under indictable offenses, everything from fraud to sedition to failure to execute his duties as President of the United States, and maybe certainly of civil manslaughter, because he could have stopped that first woman from being killed. Had he acted, she'd still be alive. In the civil courts, you don't have to have the gun. You have to show that someone did something that caused the action. So I think that this is extremely serious. And within a month, there will be an indictment with Trump's name on it.
And before we leave off today, we should mention that we are recording on Australia Day, Invasion Day, however you like to put it, January 26th of 2022. Looking at the kind of political situation we have in the country now, you mentioned sort of Boris Johnson a moment ago and kind of screw up after screw up, and it's all sliding off because who could possibly replace him? Our own glorious leader, Scott Morrison, how would you weigh up the political situation around him in Australia right now? I mean, we've seen since he entered his tenure, since the miracle win that he instilled, bushfires, obviously his response to the bushfires was, I don't hold a hose. We saw some initial luck, I think, in the COVID pandemic, but it was all luck. Once it started to go wrong, there was really a failure of a response, especially around vaccinations. And we've seen those failures come around again with testing here in Australia at the moment. So how would you weigh up the political situation here now, Ed?
It's Anthony Albanese. His opponent will stop campaigning, he'll win the election. Because, as you've just pointed out, screw up after screw up after screw up, and there'll be more before the election. And the election will have to happen before July, is that not right?
Yeah, it's got to be
this year.
Yeah.
So I think not only at the national level, but at the state level in New South Wales, Sydney, where we are, there's going to be government turnover. May not be for the better, but the voters are pissed.
Ed and I will be back next week to discuss all the latest goings on in US and world politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast so you don't miss a thing. Drop us a review and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.